Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium in 1 hour. We will carry that live and in its entirety right here on 102.5, The Game. But joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, always appreciate our weekly sit-downs with you, and we appreciate your time. What was your evaluation of Will Levis in Pittsburgh on Thursday?
Well, I thought he competed well. I think last week we talked about, you know, after his first start, you know, what were the reactions? And, you know, I probably was saying, like, look, a little caution, like it's, you know, one game before everybody is like, yep, we got the future. Let's go ahead and move on. And so I thought he actually, you know, the end result wasn't what everybody wanted, and it wasn't perfect, but I think there definitely were moments where you saw really good things, and it was like, all right, that's encouraging, like, especially off of last week, like, certainly something you can build on. And I would say this, too. I think sometimes, you know, what's interesting in quarterback evaluations is, you know, we look at how somebody throws the football, and you know, when guys do their workouts, sometimes it's really obvious. Like, just use Zach Wilson as the example. Like, Zach Wilson in a shorts and T-shirt workout, like, it's really impressive how he can throw the football. And I think that Will Levis, you could say, you know, this is something similar to him. But how it actually shows up in real football, I think, matters a lot. And I think for Will Levis, I think it's shown up. His talent to throw the football has showed up in, like, real football, which is clearly more important than just throwing in shorts and T-shirt, but it doesn't always happen. So I think in terms of that's been a good thing, in terms of for how he's played and what it maybe looks like for him going forward.
And another thing that we've observed, not just in the first game, but the second game as well, the poise that Will Levis plays with, his ability to escape pressure. Maybe he gets smacked in the mouth, which happened a good bit of times against the Steelers on Thursday night, but he was able to still get back up and continue to make plays. That was one thing that impressed me in addition to the arm strength.
I think for any quarterback, I mean, listen, it's a no question, it's kind of a glamour position. But saying all that, just look at the top guys playing the position. Like, if you were to say, all right, list, like, qualities that they have, all of them are tough, all of them. So, okay, if you're talking about Tua, you think about what that guy's been through, the fact that he's still out there kind of fighting the way that he is. How about somebody like Jared Goff, who, you know, essentially was traded away to get rid of his contract, you know, and I'm talking mentally and physically tough, you know, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Matthew Stafford, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, you look at what he's doing. Jalen Hurts clearly, you know, kind of dealing with, you know, his knee. And or I'll give you even another one. Someone like Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones tears his ACL. Like, I think he tries to stay in the game and play another play. So I just think that, you know, you have to have that stuff. And there's definitely been a grittiness and a toughness to be appreciated, you know, so far from what we've seen from Levis.
I 100% agree. Do you think Will Levis, in your opinion, gives the Titans a better chance to win football games than Ryan Tannehill does?
I think it's fair to say right now that, yeah, you could say that. And even if it was close, you know, Ryan coming off of an injury and then factoring in Ryan's contract, which – you know, essentially it's out at the end of this year. And the fact that you would have a young quarterback on a rookie salary. I think that one week it was like, okay, like, you've got our attention. 2 weeks, it's like, all right, now you really have our attention. And so, look, he's going to get some more opportunities, you know, to kind of prove that that's the case. So, I think the Buccaneers are a very beatable team. Obviously, saw what happened to him this last weekend. And so he plays well and they win. I think it's fair at that point to say, look, we need to give this like a real go to figure out if this is in fact what we're doing.
Now, we're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, Caroline brought up the question earlier in the show. Is this, at least for Mike Vrabel in his tenure here so far, is this the biggest decision that he has had to make up until this point? Now, it was a big decision to go from Mariota to Ryan yep. Tannehill. It seemed to have worked, but I get it. They didn't accomplish what they wanted to, but I think Ryan kept, along with Derrick Henry, kept this franchise relevant, you know, kept them in the forefront and kept the fans excited about their play. You know, A.J. Brown was another decision, but that probably solely wasn't on him. This decision right here, I think, and tell me if you're thinking the same way, this decision right here has implications on the future moving forward, the next 5, 10, 15 years. So to me, this has to be the right decision, and it has to be made with conviction. Like, this is whoever we're going with. This is our guy for the remainder of the season, and if it's Will, then this is our guy moving forward, period.
Yeah, I would say this, okay? And I'm glad you brought up the scenarios. So, look, you probably say John Robinson's responsible for the signing of Ryan Tannehill. But the decision to make the move from Mariota to Tannehill was Mike Vrabel's. And he should get the credit for that. And did the Titans won a Super Bowl? No. But to your point, like, that was the right move. 100%. Like, I don't even think it's debatable. And, look, Ryan was rewarded for it. I think the team, with some of the success, was rewarded for it. And so that was a great decision, and probably the biggest at the time, by Mike Vrabel. So he should get the credit for that. Like, he's not, you know, he's not certainly not batting 1,000, but he's certainly not, you know, batting 0 either. So, and then I think you can kind of look, the A.J. Brown thing, I think we all believe that that was not his decision. I think the Derrick Henry thing, while he probably wanted Derrick Henry, you know, in terms of re-signing him, well, he was probably a part of it, that probably also was a John Robinson decision. And so I think that this is the next big one, and it's the biggest one now, because everyone's going to forget about the decision to go with Ryan Tannehill instead of Marcus Mariota. Like, everyone, like, until you bring it up, teammates, like, everyone's like, no, he's just our quarterback. Like, it's just, that's how it works. And so he now is like, yeah, like, this is the biggest decision. And I think in some ways, because of the age of Will Levis, the contract situation with Will Levis, and what the rest of the AFC looks like, yeah, like, this is the biggest now, and it will be the one that probably dictates the future of the franchise under his leadership.
Now, Tim, do you believe the Titans, they have 8 games remaining, 8-9, I believe, games remaining, and, you know, they have, what, 5 of them at home, 4 in a row. They've been a really good home team. On the road is a different story. The way that the AFC South is starting to align itself, take away Jacksonville, because, you know, to me, Jacksonville seems like, as good as Houston's playing with their young quarterback, I think Jacksonville has separated themselves somewhat from everybody else. But looking at those 3 teams, because essentially the rest of the 3 teams, if Richardson doesn't get hurt, they're essentially starting rookie quarterbacks. Where does the Titans fit? Do you believe they can make a run at least to finish in that second spot? And you never know, because of the way these other conferences, divisions are beating each other up, you may be able to slip in there with 10 wins.
Yeah, 9 potentially, right? I mean, like, here's what I would say. And, you know, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment of what C.J. Stroud did this last weekend, but I do think, in fairness to C.J. Stroud, you just look at his touchdown interception ratio. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, remarkable. So, you know, the beginning part of the year, I felt like he was just not turning the football over, but they weren't really getting big plays. That's clearly changed. So, you know, where do I feel like they fit in? I think a lot of it comes down to the quarterback play. I mean, because I do think Jacksonville is the better team, you know, than everybody else in the division. I do feel that way. And they don't always play like it, but I think that's just part of the NFL. Then I would actually say, like, I think Houston, if the quarterback is going to be on fire like this, then I think that separates them. But look, we've only seen two games of Will Levis, so look, I probably shouldn't write him off either. I mean, it's crazy. But I guess I would say this in terms of all that, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. I think when the Titans end up getting the Texans, because let's say it comes down to, you know, it looks like the, you know, two games in December, you know, against Houston, I think the Titans would have preferred to have one of those games in September than having them in December, because there seems to be a belief. I think DeMeco Ryans is doing a good job of coaching them. I think the players are enjoying playing for him. I think the defense is getting better because of him. And then the quarterback playing well, they're going to be a better December than September team.
Now, what do you make of what has come out in regards to Mike Vrabel being connected to the New England Patriots, mm-hmm. what Kraft said? Mm-hmm. It's been reported by, you know, Boston. I think it was in the Boston Globe. Boston Globe.
Ben Volen.
Yeah. So do you take that with a grain of salt? How do you look at that? Do you think this is a team that, meaning New England, that is really serious about, even though there was, you know, there was a report that came out that, you know, Bill Belichick signed a extension or a lucrative contract, but no one knows the numbers nor the years. Is there anything to that, you believe, in regards to Vrabel, New England, Kraft wanting that being his splash hire if he could have it?
Yeah, here's, I guess, what I would say about that. I do feel like, I mean, listen, Ben Volen's been, you know, covering the Patriots for a long time. Like, I'm guessing that this stuff doesn't just come out of thin air. You know, I mean, giving guys the benefit of the doubt on their reporting, especially, you know, when it's not just somebody that's, you know, just kind of throwing some out there on like a random podcast or something, right? So I do think that you have to give it a little attention because of that. I think, listen, even great coaches sometimes need a change. Look at Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. He's obviously experienced a ton of success in Kansas City. Like, he was very close to a ton of success in Philadelphia. Like, and I think that he would maybe say it's been a good thing. So I don't think it's crazy to think that Bill Belichick might even say, look, doing it somewhere else would be okay. Or that Robert Kraft might say, look, I love him and I love what he's done for our organization, but it's okay to do something different. Like, I do own the team. So, and then I do believe that there are guys that are part of the Patriots' remarkable runs that aren't just guys that were a part of it, that mean more to it. Tom Brady, obviously, would be one of those guys. I think Teddy Bruschi would be one of those guys. I think Mike Vrabel is one of those guys. And, you know, I think guys like Dante Scarnecchia, who coached the offensive line, one of those guys. So I think that, I don't say like where there's smoke, where there's fire, but to say, could that be legit? I very much think that that could be legit.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. What do you make of Mike Vrabel as a coach and the job that he's done over the past couple of seasons in Tennessee?
Look, I think that he's done a great job. I mean, I might be in the minority in saying that, but look, he took over and the team didn't have a quarterback. Then he found a quarterback and found ways to do it that were different than the rest of the league. And I think in terms of game management stuff, for somebody that, you know, doesn't have 20 years under his belt as a head coach, I think he's been remarkably good at game management stuff. I think the players have responded well to him. And I think that, look, he's on a team where, like, look, for whatever the reasons were, the guy who's maybe the first or second best receiver in the game got traded away. and that really hurt the offensive production. So I think he's done a great job. And, you know, and I think that I think there are a lot of teams that would like to have him. Now, sometimes you can be a great coach and it just doesn't work out there. I actually was having this conversation with the athletic director this past weekend, the game I called, and just kind of talking about a different sport than football of like, sometimes you have a great coach and it just didn't work out. And so I think sometimes that can be the case. And I think that if he were available, sometimes I judge it on this. If he were available, would he be out of work long? And the answer is no.
Yeah, I think Titan fans are starting to wear a little bit thin on them.
A little Vrabel fatigue, if you will.
Yeah, a little Vrabel fatigue.
No, but listen, that's fair. Like, yeah. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But, like, just being real, if here you go. If Michigan State was interested, like if he was available, would Michigan State be interested?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Like, of course they would be. Look, if
I drive him down there, matter of fact.
Yeah, listen, I'm
up there,
you, like,
excuse me.
Right. So, like, and so look at, all right, here we go, Tampa Bay. Like, if they make a move, is Tampa Bay going to be interested in him? Of course they are. If the Chargers, if they make a move, would he be interviewed for that? Absolutely he would be. So, like, I think sometimes you just got to say, look, and it doesn't mean that it has to work out where he is. I mean, it just said like Belichick could end up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But look, maybe it is the fatigue. But like, if the question is, like, should this guy be an NFL head coach? Like, should this guy be head coach somewhere? Is he the type of leader that organizations are looking for? Like, the answer is yes across the board.
Now, before we get you out of here, Tim, two teams that I just don't know what to think of them. Buffalo and the Miami Dolphins. Ironically, they're both in the same division. You know, Miami sits the top division at 6-3. Buffalo's 5-4. And Jets fans, even though they play, it was ugly yesterday. They didn't win. They still have hope because Aaron Rodgers was throwing the football, three-step drop. So they figure if these two teams continue to lose, we are right there. But with that being said, what do you make of Miami and Buffalo? Because Miami just all the talent in the world. But again, if you can't win the big games against the tougher competition, it all means nothing. And then Buffalo, they always find a way to Buffalo. We talk about the Chargers and what they do at end of games or during games. Buffalo sometimes does the exact same thing, and they end up losing themselves the game.
Here's what I would say. I think that Miami is better than Buffalo everywhere but quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so conversely, I think Buffalo is better at quarterback but not as good everywhere else, okay? I believe that when you look at Miami, there's enough to like about their team, mm-hmm. the way they run the football, how much speed they have, how they play on defense. Look, you know, Vic Fangio, you know, to me, I think does a really good job. And so anyway, so there are a lot of things that I like about them. When I look at Buffalo, the thing that frustrates the heck out of me, I think for the majority of that game, D. Mace, the mm-hmm. other night, they called four runs for someone other than Josh Allen. You know, I think at the end of the night, they maybe end up calling eight rushes for you know, the combination of their backs. But that's not real to me, because what happens is it's so dependent on one guy being unbelievable. And the minute that he isn't totally perfect, like he wasn't the other night, throws a pick early in the game and then they had a couple drops, and next thing you know, like, they look so average. So to me, I trust Miami way more. But then in saying that, look, if Tua just, I don't know what happened. It's gotten very little attention, in my opinion. It's 3rd and 10 at the end of the game.
What was that?
Decent throw. I mean, listen, if that were a grenade, no one would have died. Like, that was a terrible throw.
Where was he? It was like, was he just trying to throw it away, or was he expecting a guy? I don't know what that pass was.
I had a conversation. Somebody was like, they thought the guy was going to run a different route. I was like, what route? Like, because you don't throw a football like that on any route that exists that I know of. Like, it doesn't exist. I think he underthrew him by like 9 yards. Like, I mean, that's what I think happened. That's the part for me where I'm like, look, I've seen Josh Allen deliver in big moments and stuff. I think it's more about their team. Like, can you run the football? Can you rush the passer? Like, all the things that we thought they were going to be able to do that they just can't do. Like, Tim, you know what? Here's what I would say for them. Like, and maybe they're waiting for Leonard Fournette to do it. But, the Dallas Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills, those teams needed to be in the Dalvin Cook business. And, look, the fact that Leonard Fournette is in Buffalo, like, maybe they're waiting on playoff Lenny so that they can run the football when they need to. But I just feel like you need to have that be part of what you can do.
I have to give D-Mace a lot of credit because he has been the CEO and president of the Bills Aren't an Elite Team Club. And I think we're starting to see that come to fruition over the past few games, if not the beginning of this season. But Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN.
That's just because he's so negative, though.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just be real. It's just he's like Benny from the Bronx.
The face of negativity. Derek Mason over here. But Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tim. Yep.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. All right, coming up next, we'll react to what Tim had to say there, plus some developments from the Boston Globe. Dun-dun-dun! We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.